The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What up, what up? Mike here. We got another Hack City stand-up comedy show happening September 9th, 7:30 p.m. at Union Hall in Brooklyn. Grab your tickets at AsianNotAsianPod.com, in the ticket link in our Instagram bio, or in the description of this episode. We got some fire comics. I'll be there. It's always a great time. See you there.
So I was like showing somebody something on my laptop, and I just like had opened it.
Yep.
And they were like, there were pubes on my laptop. And I was like, thank God I work in like a comedy company, because like, you know, it felt so unprofessional. I felt okay to like address it.
Yeah.
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is August 21st, Saturday, coming at you live from LA and New York City.
Woo-woo! LA, baby.
LA, baby.
Look at you.
Yep.
Look at you, baby. Mm-hmm. If you're if you're listening to this on your iPhone, please take a screenshot and post it on Instagram. Tag us at Asian, not Asian pod. Use your podcast app to leave us a review. Give us 5 stars. Give us 5 stars and then, say something mean about our poopy butts. There you go. Do that. That would be amazing. Please leave a poopy butt review and then 5 stars. And if you're on Spotify, hit follow so you can always be informed of when new episodes come out. Finally, we're on YouTube. If you guys
don't know about YouTube, man, people don't fucking
know
about YouTube.
You know what's funny is we're gonna talk about this, but you know, Fumi's Colbert set, late night set, came out, and people were like, "Wow, I never knew what Fumi looked like." And I was like, "We put ourselves out there all the time." You know, like we're on Instagram. We each have our own Instagrams. We have Twitters, we have TikToks, and we have put this on YouTube. And people were still like, what? You're Asian? What the fuck?
That's our secret, though. People just, you know, we're not hotties. We're not hotties. So it's just the audio. We're better on audio format. So I get it. People don't want to see.
We are. Listen, let's just say that. We got 1080p faces, but we got 4K voices. Okay.
Hey,
let's
go. Hey. You already know.
Hey, I'm a rapper.
You already know.
finally, please tell your friends about us, because that's how, that's honestly the biggest thing. So tell your friends. And make sure to tell, you know what, text your friends who don't live in major metropolitan areas, because we've got good followings, LA, but we want to be out there in Tampa, okay? We want to be out there in
Tampa,
Cincinnati, you know? We want to get that that crowd out there. So, there you go. Do that.
Hell yeah. And then, as always, we will always do Patreon shout-outs before we start the show. What is Patreon? It is the best way to support our podcast. We are a completely independent podcast. What does that mean? We're not with the network. We do everything ourselves. We pay everybody ourselves. We got a producer. We got an editor. We do all that shit ourselves. So, if you want to support this podcast, if you want to support this operation, please go to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod and consider donating your fucking hard-earned money, okay? You can do anywhere from $5 a month to $50 a month. We had a $50 a month recently, Mike. That shit was crazy. Some people give us $50 a month. It's wild.
Yo, you know what's tight too? Sometimes people give us money. Yo, it's not even in US dollars. That shit is in Canadian dollars.
Canadian dollars.
Which
so it's more.
I imagine is just beef jerky. We have money that comes in from sometimes from euros. I don't know what.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Crazy.
There's probably some drug money that's being laundered through
our podcast. They'll never find us.
Exactly.
So please consider donating, and in return you'll get a shout out on the podcast, you get bonus episodes, we send into your DMs, all that kind of fun stuff. So check us out at patreon.com/asian.asianpod. Moving on to our newest subscribers of the week. Now we try to guess your ethnicity based purely on your last name. Here we go. Our newest Patreon person, Jill Romero. R-O-M-E-R-O.
Romero. Jill Romero. This person is Italian.
I don't think this person's Asian at all. I've never met an Asian Jill.
Word. Exactly. Hey, this might be one of your new Midwestern fans that you got from doing late night, my dude. Okay?
Maybe.
Just a nice live, laugh, love
a lot of doormats that says something about wine. What is that fucking
it's wine o'clock somewhere.
It's wine o'clock somewhere.
Like
yeah,
exactly. Powered by Christ and coffee, you know, something like that.
Jill. Well, thank you, Midwestern Jill. We love it. And tell your kids I say hi. go ahead and drive the Honda Odyssey to soccer practice, won't you?
Nice.
Then we got Michelle Lee. I think this is the $50 a month person.
Oh, word.
This is a lady who's really passionate about global warming. And she's
this is a TED Talk Asian.
She's a TED Talk Asian.
Shouts to Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your, that's so much money. And I can't believe it. Okay.
This is an interesting
this
one.
This is just one.
This next one.
Sari Ann. Cerianne Price.
Yo, this person is one of the, what is that one, you know, in Game of Thrones, that one horse tribe?
Oh, the Dothraki?
that's like a Dothraki name.
Cerianne. But she's Dothraki, but she married like a Midwestern white guy in Ohio.
Right, Price.
Cerianne. So she had to change Price. Her last name.
Right. You know?
Damn.
Yeah, Daryl Price married into the Cerianne tribe. Damn.
I get it, man. I mean, the nomad life ain't easy, so I get it. I get why you want to live.
Settle down. We're going to Jill's barbecue later. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And lastly, but not least, we have Richard Shimada. It's a classic Japanese-American name. That's
Japanese-American name. This guy, this Richard Shimada gives me the vibe of like someone who's like, he's like an associate professor at like a Cal State. He's a little bit on the older side, but he sees us and he's like, you know what? This, you know, I wanted to be these guys, you know. Then I became an ethnic studies professor.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he's an academic Asian, and we love
academic
that.
Asian. We love it.
Well, thank you guys so much for donating. And again, if you want to get a shout out on the podcast, go to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. Moving on to new game we started playing. You know, what is this podcast about? If you're a new listener, we try to figure out what it means to be Asian American because it's very difficult. Yeah. People keep, you know, there's a lot of different definitions. People don't know how it's defined. People get mad when you define it. It's a whole fucking vibe. It's a whole vibe, y'all. And so we endeavor to solve that every week by asking each other, what kind of Asian were you this week? So Mike, may I ask you, what kind of Asian were you this week?
Yo, I would say I was a road rage Asian.
Oh, love that.
Because, I was a road rage. I definitely have road rage I don't ever act on it, but I get real mad. I hate cars. I'm from Orange
driving?
County. No, so I was driving. I was like reveling. I was reveling. And I got so upset. I hate even being on the road. I was reveling somewhere. I was like on my way home from a show and I was on a revel. And I come to like a red light and this dude comes up next to me and he's like, hey man, you're not supposed to be on the middle of the road like that. You're supposed to be off on the side.
No, that's not true.
And 100% I was like, that is not true. And in my mind, so I've kind of like, I've converted a lot of my road rage into, you know, just, you know, when Thanos has all of his five rings and he can turn a superhero just into like flowers or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I try to do with my road rage now because I just get so mad.
Yeah.
You know, so this
you
guy.
Turn into flowers.
This guy, man, you know, I was just like, he was like, hey, man, you're supposed to be on there, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I was just like looking at him and I was just like, okay, you know, I was just like, I wanted to just have the energy just pass right through me like I'm not even there.
Yeah.
You know, because I was not trying to get into anything like that. And like, I wasn't going to get out and like, I'm on a revel, you know?
What did you say? Yeah, you can't fight a guy on a revel.
I literally was just like, okay. And I was just like, I gave him like a dismissive, okay. You know, which is what I usually
do to people.
And did you move?
Did you move like a little bitch?
No.
Oh, no, okay.
You know what I did was when the green lights came on, I just zoomed off in front of him. Because we're in New York and you know what I'm saying? Cars can't go fast here. That's like,
I don't know what he's thinking.
What the thing that really pissed me off though was that I just hate it when, and I've lived here in New York for a long time, okay? Mm-hmm. I've lived here maybe 12 years now. I've been through every major disaster that New York has been in. Hurricanes.
Earthquakes.
Fucking earthquakes. Terrorism. Pandemics. Terrorism.
Yeah.
I've been through all of them, and I hate it, and I don't think this is what this guy meant, but I hate it when people make me feel like I don't belong somewhere.
Mm.
You know? I just hate it when that happens. When, like, you know, it's like, because I feel like underlying the message is like, you don't belong on this. You know, this is the way that New York is this. one of the things I've always said before is like, you know, New Yorkers are very rude. I don't think you need to be rude. I don't think you need to be rude. I don't think you need to yell. And I don't buy the whole thing. Well, you're not a real New Yorker, blah, blah, blah. Whenever people say shit like that, I'm like, okay, well, listen, what? Are we all sitting here talking about when were we all here when hip hop was born? Is that what,
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you're not a real, you know what I'm saying? Like, the people who always say that are like, not even from New York. You're from, from like Yonkers. I'm like, really? Yeah. You know? And I'm just come on. Yeah. So I think that's always like, that's my thing. And I was much more pissed off about that than anyone. Like, you know, if somebody was like, hey, I need to go around you, you know, you're going kind of slow.
Yeah.
You know, all right. But you're just like, dude, I've been here so long and you know what? Maybe I've got California vibes, but I've got, you know, I pay taxes here. You know, I've seen, what am I supposed to do?
Wow.
That's really what I got. Road rage Asian, man.
Damn. You starting to sound like a white person. I pay taxes. That's their excuse for everything.
I pay taxes.
Also, I love that you were like, I hate it when people, you know, I belong here, you know, but even though you're on like this fucking scooter that's like a startup company, like gentrifying all of New York, you know?
You know, it's absolutely
like,
true.
Yeah, it's like being on a bird scooter in LA and being like, yeah, I'm from here, you know?
Right. But, you know, listen, let's just say this. If I'm not from here, then where am I? I'm literally from nowhere, you know? Because I've lived here so long.
You have no option. You have no option.
I have no option. If I could, I would revel away, but I can't. The revel range is very short.
Wow.
This road rage incident brought to you by Revel.
Revel, so. Sponsor us.
Yeah, how about you, Fumi? What kind of Asian were you this week?
This week I was a pubie Asian.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever been a pubie Asian. I'm saying pubie.
No, what do you
like,
mean by that? Yeah.
Well, okay, so I started work this week. And a lot of people, I guess, like bring in their own computers. We have work ones, but I don't know why. Like everybody just brings in their own computers. So I just brought my own in. And it was weird because I haven't been to like an office in like probably a year and a half. The last time I was in an office was when I was working for that marketing company in Lower Manhattan. And again, I probably 2019, right? It's been a minute since I've been into an office physically. And so I was like showing somebody something on my laptop and I just like had opened it.
Yep.
And they were like, there were pubes on my laptop. And I was like, not like a lot, you know what I mean? Not like a bag full of pubes, just like one. But it was like, but I have the new MacBook where it like lights up. So it was like, it had good lighting, you know?
Oh, and, funny.
And I was like,
It was an OLED pube?
It was OLED. The pube was backlit as shit. And I was like, oh shit. So I like moved it. And then the person clearly saw it. And thank God I work in like a comedy company because like, you know, it felt so unprofessional. I felt okay to like address it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, well, you know, like sometimes you get pubes on your laptop.
Is that what you said? You totally said that?
But like they didn't. But like one of the people like didn't know what I was talking about. So I wanted to ask you, like, isn't it normal to have pubes on your laptop? Because like you watch porn on your computer, and then like sometimes, you know, you're jerking it, and then the pube gets on your hand, and then you type like, you know, I don't know, whatever it is on your Google. I feel like
you're switching to the Google chat to tell your boss.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be late to the meeting.
The way I described it was like, you know, pubes on laptops make sense because there's a real workflow here. You know, you're watching the porn.
Oh,
you got your hand on your dick, and then so it, like there's a mode of transportation here, right? It makes sense.
Yo,
I'm not weird. It makes sense. Why aren't there pubes on your fucking laptop?
I like that you put in workflow in there. Okay, you're editing video on your on Premiere.
Yeah,
and you're just importing things. I'm jerking stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got different things. All right, as my code is compiling, you know, I've got a couple extra minutes. You know, I've got a little bit extra time.
Yeah,
I don't got that because my setup, my porn setup is just my phone. I just got I'm a mobile guy. Mobile.
You've transitioned. You've gone full mobile at this point.
I go full mobile. Okay. Sometimes I get the VR headset. Mainly mobile. And then I got so many laptops in front of me. I just realized, but I use everything I interface with one of these extra keyboards. I have this.
Like, oh, so there's a lot of pubes on that.
It's so many pubes on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, well, but this way, it's all on one. It's all on one. You know, yeah. What I'm saying? It's not dispersed.
But it was, yeah, I felt like I was getting like pube shamed for a second because they're like, oh, what are you talking about? And I was like, I can't be the only one. So I wanted to ask you about it, and I'm glad to know that there are pubes also on your keyboard. And I now I feel like I belong in this world, I guess.
Welcome. Yeah. You know what?
But anyways, yeah. So I wanted to ask our guest about you know, their pube situation as well, and also what kind of Asian she's been this week.
Yeah, so, what's their workflow? What's their workflow situation?
And I'm so excited to bring her up. We've been trying to get her on for a minute. Here's some things I want to say before I introduce her. We've known about her, you know, because I feel like Asian comedians, we all know.
We do. We all keep tabs on each other. Yes. Yes.
I've never actually seen this person live, but she did like a fucking Zoom stand-up comedy show with us. Zoom. Okay, Zoom is not fun.
One of the last ones we did. Yeah.
Yes, she had me on the fucking floor. I was dying.
So funny.
I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know it was like scientifically possible to be this funny over this kind of bandwidth. It was fucking wild.
Right,
so,
exactly. We had to download that shit.
So excited to have her on. You've seen her on Comedy Central Clusterfest. She's also on HBO Max. Give it up for the hilarious. It's Nori Reed.
Hi.
Thank you so much for doing this pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for also, you know, just quickly before we get into it, thanks for doing that Zoom show that was for a nice good cause, and I hope you had fun. I don't know if you're still doing Zoom shows, but that was hilarious. And again, we've heard about you from different sources, I think, you know, different things. And I feel we've been in a tango for a while.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? We've been kind of like, what's going on over here? We see each other from across the dance floor. Hey. We're doing a little stutter step, you know what I'm saying? And then finally, we're like, are we doing this, you know?
Oh. So. Oh my God. I didn't know it was this kind of podcast. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of Asian were you this week, Nori?
Like Fumi, I just started a writing job too.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
And so I kind of like the Asian part of me very much came out in the way that I was like, I need to prove that like I'm smart. I have to prove immediately that I'm like smart and worthy of this. And, yeah, and like no one gives a fuck. It's like everyone's just like, we don't know. Everyone's like, we don't know who you are, and you need to stop. You need to leave.
Yeah,
you have to get out of here.
Yo, people. And I was like, okay. People got pubes on their keyboards and shit. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
you know.
It's
chaos out here.
Yeah, but our room is on Zoom, and so it because you're in the office.
Yeah,
it
we started like, going in. Yeah, which is fun. Yeah, and it's fun.
No, I'm so jealous. Like we're on Zoom, and so that's like torture. Like I would not wish.
Yeah,
I would not wish a room on Zoom on anyone.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So are you on Zoom for like the whole day, like the whole time, just sitting there?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit of a tired Asian. Hungover. This might be your most toxic episode you've ever had before.
Toxic.
You use that word a lot. Yeah, use that word a lot. We've been reading a lot of things.
I love that word.
Why?
I love the word toxic.
Interesting.
But you don't use it. You don't use it to criticize others. You're always. It's always like sometimes because one time you were like, it was toxic and I loved it or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you use it in this different context. We don't really.
Interesting.
Know what you mean.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, what's going on there? Yeah.
Yeah, in context, like, this is going to be your most toxic episode, and you're welcome. It's, like, what I'm trying to say. Like, this is going to be really weird for everyone.
It's almost kind of like, you know, when you have, sometimes a little toxin can be good. It's almost kind of like, you know, when you get Botox, that's, that's toxic. That's been toxic. Used for good, right? Mm-hmm. You got rid of the wrinkles, you know?
I mean, my first thought, when you asked that question, my first thought was, like, I grew up like really Christian, and so like there's a lot of like rule, like so many rules of like behavior and like
yes.
being good and
yes.
and like what that is. So I feel like being proudly toxic is like really it's like freedom. It's like freedom to be whoever you to be authentically you in the moment.
Wow. Okay. Wow. I've never thought of it like that.
Nobody talks about toxicity in this way, Nori. This is
You're
really like revolutionizing that word, I feel like. I love that.
Thank you. Oh.
That's a really interesting way to put it. It's almost kind of like, yeah, you're challenging what the expectations normally are, I guess, right?
Is yeah.
that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, like you're brave enough to be a bad person.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, even though right.
That's yeah. brave and beautiful. It's yeah. it's subverting yeah.
Yeah. I feel I recently was on Feeling Asian, so check that out. That episode just came out. And I came to this realization that one of the things that was to me something I feel I try to be toxic with is for Asian people, there's a whole thing about like respect your elders, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I see what the people are saying, but when I look back at my life, I see so many times where I didn't speak up or say my piece or like defend myself because only because the other person was older than me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And yeah. I feel sometimes that whole thing, you should definitely, you know, I feel people can be shitty to older people for no reason, and that sucks. But I feel sometimes in the culture, oh, you just can't talk to an older person that way. You can't criticize them in any way. You can't, you know, like you can't speak your mind. You have to know your place.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
especially in my career or whatever, I've only recently come to realize that older people, they're just regular people. They're kind of making it up as they go along. Mm. And sometimes, especially when there's like family structures or whatever, that shit don't mean anything. You know, that person's just been alive a little longer, but maybe they're still making the same mistakes and they're trying to fuck you over in some way. And they're using this thing. And you got to sometimes like push back on that. And that's like a taboo a lot of times, you know?
Let's explore the origins of your toxicity. Okay.
You're from
Kentucky, right? You grew up in very Christian. By the way, so you went to, I'm going to call you an honorary Midwestern Asian because you went to Kenyon College. And Kenyon College is, for those people that know, Ohio has like two very academically advanced colleges that nobody in Ohio knows about. Like,
oh, really?
It's so weird. They're only reserved for like liberals from New York and San Francisco or something.
Oh.
Like, it's like no one from, so it's Oberlin and Kenyon. No one from my high school has ever heard of those colleges. Like, I don't, no one went there from, you know what I mean? Like, everybody goes to Ohio State, everybody goes to OU, they get fucked up, they party. These are schools, like,
right.
like
I've never heard of the Oberlin football team. You know?
Lena Dunham went to Oberlin, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So this,
okay.
like, you know
that's
what I mean?
All
you these
gotta
are
know.
Like elite class, elite people from
that's where elite people go to understand the regular person. You know, that's where
I guess, but like, I don't know, what was that like for you, Nori? Because I feel like it's not a lot of people from Ohio.
I came on this podcast to get absolutely roasted and it's like she's toxic, she's an elitist,
she's hungover coming on our show.
Over, man.
You're like I've never done a podcast before 10 a.m. and I do it for you guys, and it's like she's a toxic elitist bitch. Jesus Christ.
Those are our favorite attributes. About
elitist.
You.
Yeah. No,
defend
it
your
was
existence.
I mean no, it was a huge culture shock. So I'm from a farm town of like less than 2,000 people, like in the entire county. It's called Christian County. It's like a
whoa shit.
Super
wow.
I, yeah, it's like very conservative Christian, Bible Belt, racist, like very difficult upbringing in terms of being Asian, queer,
all
those things. And
yeah.
So when I got to Kenyon, which is a super like liberal kind of hub of like elite kind of like hyper educated like kids, it was a huge culture shock. And it was I'm a first generational college student, and it was just like extremely isolating. And I had like a super really cute like a little bit of a like a nervous breakdown, like just like a little bit.
Did you say a nervous breakdown?
Yeah, just like a little bit. It was like a little bit. Little
like,
bit.
Like and you were crying, taste. But you were wearing a fire outfit or something? What does that
mean?
Yes. Like looking out the window, like, kind of, you know?
Yeah, and like how it happens in a K-drama, you know? It's kind of adorable. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And because I was first-generational college student, the college kind of was keeping up with me, and they like, because I was there on a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And the school very like politely and nicely was like, wouldn't it be so like weird and funny and quirky if you went to therapy? Like if you started going to therapy.
Oh my God, so quirky.
Wow.
Like how funny would it be? Like they're like, hear me out. Like how funny, weird, and you have to, and it's not a choice. And I was like, oh, right. Okay.
Oh,
like
wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
So I went to, to therapy for the first time in my life, and it was life changing. And I'm a huge fan advocate of therapy. It's like, it's incredible. Yeah. And it really helped me navigate that world because I was coming from such a country town and I felt like I was just like drowning because everyone was so liberal, knowledgeable, like just, yeah. Boarding school.
But what made you, because, you know, you came from this, you know, Asian queer, you know, experience. You know, I would think that, hey, now you're finally with people who may be more welcoming to that. But you're telling me that you kind of had the opposite reaction. You kind of were like a little lost. Like, what was going on exactly? Why was there that disconnect?
It's super complicated. I mean, it's... I think the nuance of that is that when you're raised in that kind of community, there's a certain level of buy-in that you have to have,
right.
Like that, that like to survive. And so
got it.
You have like multiple ways of thinking where on one level, on a conscious level, you believe in like God and Jesus and whatever, but then you have these conflicting feelings and thoughts that you have to put somewhere, you know, to hold for a while. And so when I got to college, the first reaction was just like, I'm so overwhelmed.
Right.
And then once I got through that process, I was able to kind of learn what I thought and what I believed and not what my community believed. And it was very cool. I mean, I was raised in a very, I wouldn't say cult, but it was like, I went to church like 4 times a week. You know what I mean? Right, like it was it was intense. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Fumi, do you relate to that? Because I remember I talked to one of our fans, you know, this is a super nice kid, you know, like is going to school in SoCal, and he's from, I want to say, I can't remember. I think he's from Ohio. He's mixed race, and he was saying that for a long time, and even now he'll be cool with Asian jokes, and because he got it so much growing up that he really had no choice but to kind of like, okay, well, I'm just gonna have to, you know, do what I got to do.
Yeah,
he ended up this it's really funny. This kid, he ended up playing hockey, and he became an enforcer, which I think in hockey terms means, I don't really play hockey. I go around and get in fights. So this Asian kid would like sublimate his rage into these fights. And that's how he kind of got like respect after a while, like, you know, but he would go around still, you know, and experience all these things. And then later on when he got to California, he was kind of like, I could get the sense that he was kind of like working through it. Like, what does it mean that, you know, I had to kind of do this in order to...
He shared all this with you after a show. That's like so much. That's like, what the fuck?
Dude. That's it was
oh my God. It really is too much.
It really is. It was awesome. It was awesome to like talk to this kid.
Please keep donating. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, exactly. But I don't know, Fumi, I don't know if you kind of relate to that at all.
I love this whole topic of, you know, Nori had mentioned earlier, like this other way of looking at toxicity, which is to ultimately, like the ultimate rejecting of your past that you don't want to be anymore. And that kind of sounds like with your friend, it was like, you know, people made fun of me because I was small and I was Asian, blah, blah, blah. No, now I just kick people's asses in hockey for a living, right? Or whatever, right?
That's right.
I think, it is a complicated... That's why, like, it could go two ways, right? Because we always talk about the Asian guy at the gym, you know, who's Yo. Like trying to compensate for the Yo. Fact
oh,
that
Oh, Mike?
People...
Is it Mike? I know. Oh my God, I know Mike. Oh my God.
But like, you know, I think there's like a healthy way to be toxic and there's like a toxic way to be toxic. And the toxic way to be toxic for Asian people is, for example, if a guy grew up, you know, he was making fun of him because he's Asian, he's small dick, whatever, and he's like, I'll show you, goes to the gym, gets fucking jack, now drives a Tesla, votes for Andrew Yang. That's a way. Yeah. You know, because he's like, I'm not gonna let anyone ever tell me that I'm like a bitch or a pussy or whatever.
Kind of buys into the narrative almost like too much and goes like the whole opposite way. I can see
for
what you're
saying. That yeah, and that's a dangerous path. I think luckily, like I think all of us, hopefully, we're on like a healthier toxic plan, you know? And that's just more like, I mean, I think for me, because you had talked about rejecting elders, Nori was talking about rejecting religion. I think for me it was just like rejecting dude, I mean, Japanese people we fucking jerk off to like stability, you know?
Oh yeah,
like
Yo.
So like so Yo. Hard. And
so
I'm not,
much,
I'm
so
not
much
talking about
the laptop.
And
yep.
it's different from like I'm not talking about the Asian American story of people coming here and be like, you got to be a doctor because then you'll be reputable.
Yep.
I'm not talking about that. My parents were too
like corporate,
too dumb.
Going corporate,
corporate.
Nissan HQ. Yep.
Yeah, like be in a place where you cannot
cubicle.
Be fired.
Cannot be fired.
And that was like so drilled into me. And it did get toxic because I think that sometimes when I was younger, I wouldn't speak up at meetings and stuff because I was like, I don't want to leave. I don't want anyone to think negatively of me. So I'll just sit here and be the notes guy or whatever, you know? And I think, in a weird way, you know, now I work in an office and it's a corporation, but it's a comedy corporation. And it's weird because like I still got Google Docs open, but now we're printing, you know, fake submission forms to the Taliban or something. You know what I mean? Like we're being dumb.
It's
you know,
it's getting weird.
We're being dumb. Like like right? Like we're talking, you know, we like it's just like we're doing like dumb shit. In a weird way, like I kind of went back to the corporate thing, but I'm also like rejecting it.
This is my own way of doing it.
Yeah.
I feel it's almost like there's a kind of toxicity where you're like, you know, you're like a poison arrow frog, you know, where you're like you're small and all you're trying to do is make space for yourself. You know, that's like the big thing. And you may do that by covering your skin with a very potent poison. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the poison arrow frog.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you're like you're brightly colored and you're like, listen. Don't fuck with me, okay? I'm a small little frog, but my nerve damage to you will be tremendous, all right? And I think that's what we're trying to do, you know? Yeah. I don't know, Nori, you know?
I think a really great example is when during the Zoom show, Mike, during my set, I talked about how I couldn't find a Telfar bag.
Yes.
And how hard that was for me. And then... Yes. After my set, you actually taunted me with your Telfar bag.
That's
and
right.
I would say that's a really good example of being toxic. I think that's like a perfect example of what that is.
Yes.
Because it was fun. It was worth it. It was funny. It was worth
funny,
it. It was hilarious.
Hilarious.
It was toxic.
It was toxic. Oh, yo. Shouts to Telfar, okay? Did you ever get up? Did you ever get up getting a Telfar bag?
No. I've tried 3 times.
Since Fumi is absolutely not in the target demo of Telfar bags,
I thought the T was Tory Burch. I have no idea what Telfar is.
Oh my God! How dare you?
Is that toxic? Is
that
toxic?
That was bad toxic. That was heteronormative, patriarchal.
Yo, nothing is Tory Burch. Jesus. Yeah. Oh wow. Telfar is a designer, and this designer has these like really like hot, cool. Purses. They come in different sizes and colors.
By the way, Nori looks like she's about to throw up because I said that. Yeah.
And there's
Tory Burch.
I'm too hungover for this. There's a social message because the creator is this black man who came up in fashion, staying true to who he is.
Yes.
And his streetwear vision, and now like rich, wealthy white women are like trying to get his bag. So it's like but he keeps the prices low.
Yeah, they
so
are
that
very
anyone
expensive.
Can get it.
Yes.
I love that.
But yeah. no one can get it because they sell out in milliseconds.
Yes.
When they drop. He does drops.
Okay. Yes, but I was able to scoop one. So, you know, that was... Yeah, and now I just bring it around with me just to flex on Nori. You know,
Nori. on trans women of color. You heard it here first. Mike steals Telfar bags from the trans needy, women.
From trans women.
Okay.
From people you who heard really it here. Need it.
Don't cut this. Do not cut this.
Listen, Mike, you know me on the podcast. I like to laugh like an insane person, spread joy through jokes and yes. inappropriate comments. But is that how I feel on the inside in 2020? Absolutely not, Mike.
No, man.
It's a dark mess in here, dude. Sometimes I'm really sad. Sometimes I'm a little depressed. I'm really stressed. You know, and I think a lot of people with the pandemic, they're not really sure about job security. And that's a huge source of stress for a lot of people. And I think if any of our listeners feel this way, they should check out our sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
Connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient.
You can start communicating in under 24 hours.
This isn't self-help. It's professional counseling.
Send a message to your counselor anytime.
You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions.
Woo! All without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. You know how those waiting rooms can be, bro.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need it.
And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
Licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, and self-esteem.
I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/Asian. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/Asian. This is a great segue into other toxic shit that we'll talk about.
We're going to segue away from that. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, it's related. Okay. It's related. Nori, we're just trying to understand your toxicity. Like, you explained to us your Kentucky upbringing. You explained the, you know, you rejecting of your past, making you toxic, but maybe in a positive light. And we also read that you used to work in the arts, in fashion and the arts. And fucking toxic ass industry, bro.
Wow. You worked at Gagosian? I love this theme. I love this toxic boat that we are on navigating.
We through. Are.
This is beautiful.
The USS Toxic, we're going through the toxic sea. We're heading towards the island of toxicity. It's going to be great. Yeah.
I worked at Gagosian. I did.
Wow. I mean, that is like, I was explaining to Fumi, that's like one of the big gallery houses. It's like it's a huge one. And I mean, I can only imagine what that was like. It you know what I'm saying? Was it just like out of controlness there or what?
Yeah, it was insane. It was like I did sign an NDA, so I'm trying to figure out how much I can
I
can talk about, but it's like it is truly, I mean, it's the biggest gallery in the world. There's like 10 plus locations around the world. It's like the Death Star. Is that the Star Wars thing? The Death Star? It's like the Imperial starship.
And we all know Imperial insane. The Empire, very toxic. Very toxic for the Force. I don't want to step on your NDA. Were you in sales or what were you doing there?
I was a gallery assistant, so I very much was the like bitch of the gallery and like loaded the dishwasher and I had to memorize I had to memorize faces of like these like 200 people so that if they came in, I knew exactly who it was. Whoa. And they all looked the same, so it was like really hard.
Right.
And ultimately, I was fired. I mean, I was not good at. I didn't fit in to that culture. Thankfully, But it was my first job, first real job out of college, and it was just like I was not prepared for that kind of world. It's wild. Yeah.
We have on our notes here that you also worked in fashion. Did you like transition into fashion? and on all that, or did you, or you know what I'm saying?
The other way around. Yeah. So worked, yeah, so I graduated from college and then was like, I want to work in fashion. And so I worked for Narciso Rodriguez, who's a really cool designer, and then Michael Kors for a little bit.
Oh. Yeah.
And then he's amazing. I didn't sign an NDA for that. He's incredible. Like he's just as gregarious in person as he is on TV. Like he's a very charismatic, like people are drawn to him, like really cool guy. And then kind of like was like, you know what? Like actually I don't want to work in fashion. It's kind of toxic, not to everyone take a shot. Every time we say toxic, take a shot.
Yeah.
And then kind of through those experiences was like, I don't want to work in this industry because it's like it's so those types of industries are so toxic and just like truly horrific work conditions where you just like you don't have any rights and you're just like because there's those like glamorous kind of industries have less rules and restrictions.
Yes.
And so the employers can get away with more. They can kind of just like truly treat you like shit and you just have to like be okay with it. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's kind of like, it's like, don't do when you have this passion for something and then you make it your like work, it can get really bad. It's like, oh shit, I don't want to see how the sausage is made kind of.
Yeah. Vibe. I think there's so many things where it's like, it's the creative industry. And so there's, especially at the lower levels, like people are so desperate to want to be in this world, no matter what they do, that it is, you know, you get told that, well, this is what you got to do in order to make it, you know? And it's even like in the culture. I mean, like fucking Devil Wears Prada is like all about a terrible boss and people made it into a movie where it's like, oh, it's kind of fun, ha ha ha, but you know, this is like an objectively bad person.
Weren't you gonna write a book about discouraging people to go into fashion or something like that, Mike? You told me that once.
I probably should. I mean, I always had this philosophy that you know how people say if you want something so bad, you got to be willing to do anything for it. I actually think that's a terrible piece of advice because that means someone can take advantage of you. If someone's like, you'll do anything, like. No, I won't do anything. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, my starting thing is $200,000 a year. You know, like I'll start it from there, you know, and go up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always think that's, I always try to like be careful about that. But speaking of of industries which are toxic in the bad way, now we're in entertainment.
God, the most toxic
and
of all.
And comedy of all
but,
things.
But it's weird because I feel because I think all of us all worked in like fashion and music at one point, but we're at the bottom. It's weird. In comedy is toxic, but now we're like the creators, you know? So I feel there's toxic things and we should address that, but I feel like maybe we have a little bit more control. I don't know how you would feel about that, Nori, but
what do you think, Nori?
I think it's I think like many things it's so complicated because like in one way like you're talking about, I do feel like I just incorporated. So I'm like, I'm my own company now. And it's so
LLC, baby. Yeah. It's all about it. Yo, what's good? What's good?
She's an S Corp. Like, I'm an S Corp.
What's your S Corp company name? Are you allowed to say?
It's called Miss Thing. And
I love it.
It's a really fun story. It basically, it's my mantra to myself is fear nothing, Miss Thing. And
that's
it's
cool.
Because a trans elder told me that once and it's stuck with me for so long and it's what keeps me going. So I was so happy when it wasn't taken because I was like, really?
Yeah.
Like
oh,
it's
nice.
Not taken. But,
really? Wow.
But when I went to the bank to open up my business account, all the paperwork that I had to sign, it said president underneath it. And I was
that's
just
so
like,
badass.
Shit. I'm like, I'm literally the fucking president. Like, what the fuck? Like it was such an empowering moment. And the bank guy was such a simp anyways for comedy. So not of me, but of just like comedy. So he was so like
excited.
He was just so into like me being a comedian. And it was just to go from that moment where you're just like, and then to go into very quickly another moment where you're like the bottom writer and like, it's just, it is so. It's everything. It's all of it.
Yeah.
You know? Wait, can I just say fucking something? I didn't know. So I didn't know Nobody told me. So when comedians get like a real job, you make an escort for tax reasons.
Yes.
Nobody fucking told me. You're supposed to make a funny name. And so Mike Escorp is just Fumihabe Inc. And I told people that. And they're like, I don't think you should be allowed to work here. But at the same time, I feel like it's very on brand.
It's very
for me.
On brand for you. That is very on brand.
It's very salary man, you know.
Yeah, it should be
very
serious. It should be Fumi Inc. Heavy Element Industries.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. I should have like Centurion or something.
Yeah.
The amount of anxiety I had when picking a name, because my lawyer was like, you have 5 hours. She was like, you have 5 hours to pick a name. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And so all of my other ones were horrible. Like, it was like Nori Reed or like Nori Ann or like... And I was so happy that one of them was my first choice wasn't taken, but all my other ones were terrible. Like they weren't. I'm sorry.
Why did you only have 5 hours?
Such a bad name. Yeah. What, just kidding.
Why did you only have 5 hours to do it? Where
everything we had to make the S Corp official before.
You start the job.
I signed my contract.
Oh, I see. Before you signed the contract.
It would all have the lawyer. It was, I was just like along for, I was doing whatever they were telling me to do, but it was so fast. Rushed. It was truly like,
just a head spinning.
And
yeah.
A funny moment too, is that like, I now work with like accountants and lawyers and they're all so dry and I still really want to make them laugh.
Oh yeah, and that's the best part. Yeah, the best part is calling up our accountant and asking, "Excuse me, this fleshlight, is that tax deductible?"
I swear to God, I tried to write off OnlyFans for us last year, and he was like, "You can't write off OnlyFans, bro."
That's research.
I'm like, that's research. It's research.
Come on, Scott.
And with my lawyer, she was like, "I'm Nori. I need you. We need you to do an S corp." And I was like, "S corp." I was like, I haven't done that in years, Marcy. And I swear to God, she was like, no, I said escort. And I was like,
that's what I meant. Ha ha, joke. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Like she, no laughter. No, she was like, I'm busy. Get the fuck off the phone. Like, hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I think people always, you know, you were saying, Fumi, about writing a book. I think for sure, if you want to empower people, S corps everywhere. Just S corps and LLCs, everyone. Yeah, like if I could go and give a talk at a high school, I wouldn't be like, you know, follow your dreams. No. I wouldn't be, you know, work hard. No. LLC. That is the thing I would say to do. Go make an LLC, and then because when you go into a meeting. And then you go, and they go, how do we make this check out? Or how do we deal? You go, I'll put through the LLC. They know you're not fucking around because you're like, oh shit, now this is all, it's all on paper somewhere. It's all got to go through this thing. A lawyer's going to look at it. I can't fuck with you anymore. Think about that.
I mean,
imagine if your intern came up and was like, yeah, can you pay me through my LLC? You'd be like, oh fuck. I can't fuck with this intern.
It's very true until you realize, how easy it is to make an LLC.
But that's what I'm saying is that, like, I think that's the thing, is that it's so easy.
Yeah.
And yet it's one of those steps you add that you add that to somebody with like starry-eyed dreams and you make them a force of nature all of a sudden.
I know
it's just
that.
One step.
It makes sense. It's kind of like meeting somebody who's like TSA pre. You know, it's like, okay, bitch. Like, you know, it's like, I respect that.
I respect. You don't have to take your shoes off when we go through the metal detector.
Are y'all Republicans now too?
Yes, like we just switched. Yeah, we all switched.
Because now, my whole life now is just evading taxes, and I'm just like, oh, cool.
For sure.
Dodge those bullets.
Yes.
Those tax bullets. We're gonna get that. We're gonna get that OnlyFans written off. Okay, I don't care what Scott says.
I have another toxic thing to talk about. If y'all want to go,
there. Mm-hmm.
And Nori, would love to get your take on this because you're a little bit more active online than I am. I recently my late night set on Colbert aired on YouTube or like on thing.
Flex.
So hey, what do people think about when that shit goes on the internet, right? Like people are like, congratulations, not comedians. Comedians, the first thing we think about is YouTube comments. What the fuck are they saying, right?
Yo,
oh my God.
That is so hard not to look at everybody's YouTube comments.
And I've been telling people I haven't been looking because I don't want to talk about it, but I totally have been looking. And
of course.
I wanted to read some toxic comments with you guys so we could make myself feel better. If that's okay with you.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it right
I
now.
Love by the way. This.
By the way.
Can I, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
So this came out. So just so everybody knows, Fumi is talking about his he did a set on Late Night. I'm sorry, Late Show with Stephen Colbert. You know, it was recorded a while ago. It finally came out this week. It's doing real well. And this whole week, it came out on what, Monday?
Yeah.
And every week I'm going back there and I'm looking like a proud parent, you know, just watching.
Looking at the stats?
Looking at the stats, looking at the thumbs up, thumbs down. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about.
My ratio is pretty good right now, Mike.
I don't know what it is. Yes, it is really good. I don't know what it is about stand up, but like all the stand up for you know, for all these people. I mean, and I'm talking about like people who are even famous. I mean, well, not so much famous, but like if it's your first late night set, the ratio is always like kind of weird. I think it's because there's a lot of people who dream about doing something like this and yes. don't. Yep. And then they feel real weird about it.
Yeah.
And they go, this wasn't that good. Ugh,
of course,
you know?
Of course. I think.
So that's what's going on there. Yeah.
Before I read the comments, I do just want to say, like, this is not a very funny note, but I think you can learn a lot about America through YouTube comments. That's the title of my book.
Oh, yeah.
And, obviously, people are like, oh, that's not funny. It's not funny. That's fine. If you don't think I'm funny, that's totally okay. That's valid. But I will say, you know, you get comments that are like, of course he would open with a, here, this person said, like, of course he would open with a joke about his ethnicity. Like, nothing has changed since Pat Morita. I guess he's a comedian. I didn't fucking know that.
I know. I was trying to find his.
He has a late
set
night set, and he calls himself like the hip nip. Nip was like a derogatory term for Japanese people back then, because
toxic. Like, so toxic,
right? It's so toxic. Straight Asian guys been toxic since 1950.
Shout out to Pat Morita.
Hey. Yeah. And there are a lot of comments that are like really mad, really, really mad that I talked about being Japanese, like for a little bit. You know, most of it is about.
I agree.
Most of it is about like you know, like dick pics and stuff, but like I'm gonna open with it because like it's a little introduction joke, and it's one thing to say I'm not funny, it's another thing to get mad. And it really reminded me that for a lot of like white people, you just existing in America is offensive to them. Does that make sense? Your existence insults their existence. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was kind of hard to swallow. Just like, just me standing, smiling, talking on camera on national television is upsetting them, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I think that I didn't really think about it until I started reading these comments. You know, like it's like with them, I can't win. I feel if you're a person of color, you can never really win because of people like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I see that. I totally see that. Winori, what do you think?
I think I'm Korean, so if my grandmother would agree with them about the Japanese thing, you should keep that to yourself. No, I'm just kidding. My grandmother hated Japanese people. No, like
hey, shouts.
No. I completely.
Is she on YouTube? Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, this is your grandma, actually.
Yeah, that was actually. Yeah. What was the username? What was it? Was it thought wop? That was my grand. That's
it was,
my grandma.
It was KWAP 69.
Yeah, exactly.
It was KWAP.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I truly am not trying to take the. I'm not trying to steal the attention here. I'm just. I would like to relate and just say that when my HBO Max set came out on YouTube, it was my first ever.
Yeah.
Tape set, and it was just it was hilarious. It was so fun. It was just like. Oh my God, they're so angry. Like they're
mad.
So, and they're vicious. And it's like, I just relate. I relate so much to what you're saying. Everything you're saying is correct. Yeah.
But the other comments are kind of funny. So we can kind of just talk through that. I mean, shit, man.
A lot
YouTube
of them
is,
are very nice. Yeah.
A lot of them are nice.
Were any of them horny? Were there any horny
Oh my
ones?
God.
There was one horny old lady.
Yeah. Yes. Hold on. This person wrote Okay, this person wrote, Janet Tucker wrote, it's only 30 seconds into his set, but he's adorable. I would date him in a nanosecond if I weren't married and 75 years old. However, one can dream, ..
That's my grandmother. No. That actually was my grandmother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Janet Tucker.
I mean, there's some really funny ones. Like, the most latest one is, his hands are tiny. Like, nothing to do with the comedy.
Oh, my God. What a weirdo.
Yeah. You know what, though? I like that because this person saw your set, was like, okay, this is pretty funny, but look at his hands, guys. Yeah, got him. Nailed it.
And they're all open micers. They're all open micers who are furious. Yes.
Oh, you think that's what it is? So you think they're open micers?
Yes, they're all open micers.
You
they're
know what it is? People. I actually think it's even people who are like before open micer. You know, like person.
Yeah.
They've been writing a lot of jokes in their joke book for like 5 years, but haven't done an open mic yet. That's the person you got to be real careful. Yeah. You know,
they're one trying guy, to work up. On mine, one guy was like, I'm a comedian and like, we have to be honest with her about how bad she is, because if we don't tell her the truth, she'll never be good at comedy.
Oh, my God.
And it was like...
Go off king. Wow.
It's just so... It's so Jesus. Like... You can tell how much this hurts them. Like...
Yeah.
Because they're not on stage. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's always the weirdest one sometimes, when there's someone who's critiquing your technique. You know what I'm saying? Like a guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is definitely armchair quarterback. Oh, you know, you got to step through and follow through with your throw there, you know, Tom Brady, you know, like, really, you know? And I feel that's definitely something you see in
these
things.
That's really interesting. This is the guy who's like 400 pounds on his couch drinking beer criticizing Tom Brady
but like watches a lot of comedy
that's what this is.
This person understands how all the mechanics are.
There is that
yeah. But I mean, otherwise, Fumi, how do you feel? Like, you know, I mean, have you been going around like, I mean, okay, I've been telling everyone about this because finally I understand what it's like to be an Asian parent where their kid got into Harvard. You know what I'm saying? If my kid got into Harvard, I would be telling little Danny got into Harvard. No big deal.
Little Danny.
Little Danny. I'm going around. I'm telling Fumi, hell yeah, Fumi's late night said dropped Harvard. You know, that's me. I'm the proud parent going around telling everyone.
Yeah, it was pretty emotional for me. I mean, I think like I wasn't in New York and that's where I started and came up and got better.
Yeah,
and it was sad to like, I didn't have a lot of people do like watching parties, but like I just watched it alone in my like fucking Airbnb that I'm staying at, you know, like alone in my underwear. So just jerking off. No,
just with your pubes. Yeah.
Yeah. With my pubes all over the, so toxic.
I'm just starting to feel like they were your pubes.
100.
Can I just say, those were your pubes, Fumi? Like, stop.
What do you mean? Yeah, they were my pubes. What do you mean?
No, well, I thought you said it was someone else's pubes.
No, it was my computer and it was my pubes. I mean,
I thought you had gotten on a work computer? Computer and it was someone else's pubes. But no, you're saying those were your pubes. I'm so sorry.
If you handed me a work computer and you had pubes on it, you'd be hearing from Fubi Ab Incorporated 100%. Like, that is not something we take lightly.
That's Corp.
I don't know if I would have said anything. I might have just been like, okay.
Yum.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Anyways.
Put that in the rice bowl. Sorry. Yeah.
But I don't know. I got a lot of like texts and messages from like people I haven't talked to in years. From high school. And it made me think like, I heard from people who I thought that didn't like me, you know? Like, you know, in comedy, you're like, oh, he said hi to me weird, so he hates me, right? Like, a lot of people like that, and I guess kind of just reminded me of like, oh, maybe they were cool with me or something. You know, it kind of like put things in the perspective.
Or they do hate, I mean, they do hate you.
And they want something.
Yes. Here we go.
Yeah.
But yes, now they're like, you know, they're talking to you because you could get them something. They think that you can
do something.
But you can't because you ain't shit.
But you can't.
I know. But I mean, you know what's so funny? Like, I just thought about this because I was like, I've been hearing from people who I haven't seen in years. I haven't heard from my parents.
Oh my God, really?
Whoa.
Well, hold on here. Do they watch TV and stuff like that? Do they know about
it? Well,
they're
in Mexico, so they definitely don't get CBS. I mean, it's on YouTube. My sister must have sent it to him, but like, maybe not. Like, I don't know. My dad has shingles, so like, I don't know. Maybe he's too busy. Like, I don't know.
With his shingles?
Yeah, shingles.
I think you need to get a set on Univision, you know? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, yeah. Telenovela.
Hola. Me llamo Fumi Abe. And then your mom's going to be like, oh my God, you're on Sabor Gigante. That's crazy.
Yo, check out my
congratulations.
Yeah, muy cómico on Sábado de Gigante. What the fuck? What is he? What's Gigante? I don't even know what that is. That sounds nice.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll be unpacking that with my therapist next Tuesday about what my parents have not. That is so weird, right? I should text.
Oh my god,
I haven't heard from them. My sister did like an Instagram story and tagged me. Oh, so like cool. she knows what's up. But like she lives in you know DC. But like not one word from my relatives.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Dang. Would this be? I mean, I don't know how this would work, but if you went back to Japan and tried to do, I mean, I guess this would be obviously a big deal for like the English speaking scene there, but would this be a thing? Would this be like, hey, NHK, you know, like
NHK?
I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? Would this matter?
I don't know. It doesn't even, I feel like American stand-up comedy and comedy that's popular in Japan, and I think to an extent, just the larger Asia scene is just, it's like apples and oranges. Like, you know, like what they do over there is just like, you know, they don't get, I don't think this means, I could send this to my parents, but they wouldn't even know what I'm saying. That's what's so sad about, I think, doing comedy as like a first gen immigrant is like no one can sure they can come to my show and see that there's 1,000 people there and like, oh, that's great, you have this thing where 1,000
but they're not
people,
they can't laugh
but they can't truly appreciate it, you know what I mean? And I think there's always like a weird hole in my heart because of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it does kind of suck for me that you're not here, because this is like kind of, you know, it's like you became a made man, you know, or you got knighted or something, you know what I'm saying? I feel they should give you a special ribbon that you get to wear around. Because like your TV, because like that's the thing with TV credits is that it's almost kind of like when you go to the gym, you think you're working out to impress like the person you're trying to sleep with, but really you're trying to impress other people at the gym. That's like the main thing you're trying to impress.
Yeah.
And so these credits, hey, I know you got paid for this and everything, but the main benefit is that other comedians can see that you got this thing.
Right,
you know,
right,
that's
right,
like
right,
the,
right.
And then other comedians will give you the respect that you deserve. I get a shine from that. Some of that polish comes off.
I know
on me.
You. I mean, I can't. It's I'm not even. Gonna, I mean, I'm not even mad about it. But it is really funny to look back at your career, Mike, and just it's a lot of it is just you're in the Fumi splash zone.
What happens is you're creating a draft that I am sliding into, okay? And occasionally I come out and you know, and then like, you know, we have to switch places, if you give a break or something. But like, you know, mainly I'm like back there and I'm like, woo, man, that looks tough.
I think one time you described it as like, I'm the dolphin swimming across the Pacific Ocean and you're like the weird barnacle on my fucking tail or something. You're just like, I'm also in Japan now or something, you know, even though you don't know how to swim at all.
Yo, barnacle energy is,
dude, 100%. You are barnacle energy.
I am a barnacle. I'm stuck on you, and I'm hard to get rid of. You know what am I?
I don't hate it. I like barnacles. You know,
but hey, sometimes we, you know, help keep your skin clean. I have no idea.
No, they don't do anything. Barnacles don't do. They don't do anything.
They really don't.
I think they hurt. I think they hurt the animal.
Actually, you're right.
It's true.
Right.
I think we do. But we also have Telfar bags, so it's chill.
Hey.
All right. Oh. Let's keep going.
Now it is time for everyone's favorite segment. It is
Das Race News.
Mike, do you want to intro this one? Let's do the second one right here.
This is a cool one. We're going to play... it's not even a game, but we're just going to talk about this. This isn't really like a current event thing. This article came out... couple of months ago, but it was an interesting one. We came across it when we were doing research for something else, and this is on Mashed, and it's an article that's it's the title of it is Things You Should Never Do in a Vietnamese Restaurant. And yes, because it is germane to the article, I am going to say that the person who wrote this, his name is Matt Meltzer, not a I don't know any Matt Meltzers from Vietnam. But this person does sort of like refer to other Vietnamese people. So, you know, he speaks to a Vietnamese chef and owner of, you know, Vietnamese restaurant. But they got, you know, this person has this list. And I'm not mad at this person or anything like that. So this is not one of those things where I'm going to go after Matt Meltzer. But it's interesting to me. I'll read some of these things. Things you should never do in a Vietnamese restaurant. Because I think it's always interesting that you know, I worry about this too. Like, you know, authenticity. You don't want to seem like a herb. You know, you want to fit in to this thing. You want to, like, whatever, belong. And especially for, like, white people in Asian restaurants, you know, like, they, you know, oh, don't get a fork or some shit like that. But I'll read some of these things, and I wanted to see what people sort of thought. Nora, you go to a lot of Vietnamese restaurants?
I very much love Vietnamese food. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I think we can talk about this. And also maybe, hey, Fumi, we can talk about what's going on with Japanese restaurants too. So how about this? I won't read all of these things. Don't expect Vietnamese food to be anything like Thai cuisine. Okay.
What? This is so. This is so Matt Meltzer of him.
No one is doing that.
No one is. What?
That was my. This whole. Okay, I read this. You know, your producer sent me the article, and I was like, "Who is this article for? Is it for his parents? Like his old elderly parents when they eat Vietnamese food for the first time?"
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it is for old white people. You're right, because these are kind of weird.
I think it is.
Like, don't ask. Like, don't be disappointed when Vietnamese restaurant isn't dirt cheap. Like, I don't know. I feel like I think Vietnamese people like it when it's dirt cheap. I don't. That's from my Vietnamese talking about the food.
One was like, don't set the place on fire with matches. I was like, why? I was like, why do you have matches? Like, it was just
don't ask for a fork at a Vietnamese restaurant is one of them. Let's see here. Don't worry. This is the one that I sort of disagreed with. Don't drown your pho in sauces.
That's the whole.
I put a lot of sauces in there. Yeah, I love putting sauces in there.
But wasn't one of the other rules was like, use the sauces. I was like, okay.
That is confusing.
Don't eat Vietnamese food without adding sauces and toppings. And then the next one is don't drown your pho in sauces, which is a little confusing. Yeah.
Is there anything like that for like Korean restaurants that you hate to see?
Oh, I mean, I feel like Korean barbecue is so, it feels very inclusive in the way that there aren't very many
rules.
It's just kind of like we're going to cook this meat for you until you're so uncomfortable you may die.
Yeah, like, there you go.
That's Korean barbecue.
Don't expect to live.
After this.
Don't expect to survive a Korean barbecue experience. Yeah. That's one of them. I go to Korean barbecue a lot, and one thing I'll notice is that my wife likes to make like a lettuce wrap with her Korean barbecue.
Some.
So like she'll have like there's a thing and the rice, and then there's like you know, a little bit of kimchi in it, and then there's like a thing, and then she rolls that up and eats it. And I never do that because I didn't grow up doing that. So I just like, I have all those elements and I just shove them all in my mouth really fast.
Oh my God.
Happens in my mouth.
Okay, there are rules. Because that made me so angry. Okay, there are rules.
You're getting on YouTube. You're putting a comment down.
That's some shit that, like, you know, Danny DeVito's character on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? He does that with sandwiches. He like calls it the Frank Hoagie, and he doesn't make a sandwich. He just shoves the ingredients. That's not what I do. But it's not a writer writing a funny joke. That's just your life. That's crazy. That's just my life.
That's Mike Barnacle style. Okay.
You're such a barnacle Asian sometimes.
Yeah, what would barnacles do? Barnacles, they just take things from the ocean and just like shove it into their exoskeleton or whatever barnacles are made of. Yeah. I do feel that's like a Korean like move. And she uses a Korean word. She always makes fun of me when I'm just like shoving the different things, the elements into my mouth quickly and making the roll in my mouth.
Sandwich happens in my mouth is like just.
It happens in my mouth and my stomach.
Oh my God.
And then Fumi, I always heard this. I don't know if this is true, but like you're not supposed to put wasabi into your soy sauce and then dip your sushi in that.
Okay. I'm just going to dispel some shit for this.
I want to hear this.
I'm sure there's some proper way to do it, and I can't tell you how many like non-Japanese people have been to a sushi restaurant with me and tell me that I'm doing it wrong. Like you don't think they're fucking like blue collar Japanese people just fucking, I don't know, doing what Mike is doing, putting the wasabi in their mouth and then putting the sashimi and the rice, like making a fucking hoagie of a sushi in their mouth. Dude, like, when it comes to wasabi, there are no rules. Do you? Sometimes the chef will put it in the fish. Sometimes, like, Jiro. I heard in some places, you're not even supposed to put the soy sauce. Like, they brush it on.
They brush it on, yes.
Well,
Do what you gotta do with wasabi.
My friend taught me to... so sorry. My friend taught me with nigiri to take the fish and dip the fish in the soy sauce and put it back on the rice.
Oh.
Because
no, no? Okay.
Because it keeps the rice, it keeps the integrity of the rice. So that's why.
Okay, my mom would do this thing where she would grab the nigiri, and then when she dipped it in the sushi, she would flip it. So she's just tipping, just dipping the top, and then
same,
she put it in her mouth.
Whoa,
yeah. Same idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've seen that, but I don't think there's like an official rule. And if you ever go to Japan or something, don't feel insecure about it. Like I swear to God, you there will be a Mike Nguyen, but Japanese guy doing fucking making makeshift sushi in his fucking mouth at a fucking expensive sushi restaurant. So don't even worry about it. That's what I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I have been to a very nice when I was in Japan. There was this really awesome, very much like a Jiro Love Sushi style kind of thing, where like the guy was like making, there was like four people, it was like for lunch only, so it was like four people in this awesome beautiful restaurant, and he was like making each one of them for each one of us, so he was like making the whole thing and then like handing it to us, really, you know what I'm saying, with his hands.
Yeah,
and I was like, there's not even anything for me to fuck up here, you know what I'm saying, like you know, like he was just giving it to me, and I was like, it's all set, I don't need ranch dressing or whatever the fuck it is, which I would definitely put on there. Don't look at me. Anyway, so bottom line, hey, you know what, go to town when you go to a Vietnamese restaurant, you know, maybe don't ask for ranch dressing, but otherwise go crazy,
you're good to go. We're going to wrap up this podcast with a game we always play called Asian, Not Asian, babies. Nori, we've been taking notes throughout this entire episode of things we've talked about, things you've joked about. And we're going to ask you if you think this is Asian or not Asian. There is a right answer, but you can feel free to explain yourself. Nori, is this Asian or not Asian? Toxicity.
Okay. Not Asian.
Not Asian.
Oh,
not
really? Asian. Interesting.
Why?
Well, I mean, in reality, I mean, but this game is very binary, so it's hard. It's so in the context of this game that does not allow for nuance.
Oh,
I would say that I feel like we're not allowed to be in a lot of Asian culture. You have to be very a certain way for you to to exist.
Right.
You have to fall in line.
Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. You can't be
which is
you
toxic.
Yes, there you go.
It's both. Yeah, it's confusing.
Oh, shit.
You gave a real, like, Kenyan, like, liberal arts college analysis.
Yes, exactly.
That was a liberal arts student for life.
I know. A lot of people are like, well, my balls, and then they get into it. But you are like, no. You're like, no.
With your elite education.
You question the system.
Yeah, exactly. You deconstructed Asia, Not Asian, the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow, now we can't put it back together. Okay. How about this? Is it following Asian or not Asian? Barnacles.
I would say Asian because of collective identity and collective values.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Do barnacles hang out together? I don't even know.
I guess there's always a bunch. Yeah, there's never always, like a lone a barnacle just like hanging by himself. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, my entire knowledge of barnacles is from SpongeBob, so I have no idea. I don't actually know the biology behind it, but okay. YouTube comments. Is it Asian or not Asian?
Ooh.
I would say not Asian because Asian people keep things to themselves.
That's true. We do. That's true. We're not. True. I wonder if like the Japanese YouTube is just videos, no comments.
Videos only. You know it's interesting. Here's a little fun fact. It's really sad, but you know like 4chan and 8chan, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that all started in Japan. So in Japan, like back in the 2000s, there was a website called 2chan. And that's where it all started. These are all ripoffs of 2chan's. And it was a very, very toxic website where like people would leak nudes of celebs and like ruin people's lives. It was like really, really toxic. A lot of like very incel energy, you know, because like Japan has that problem with people.
Japan does have kind of like a weird thing. Yeah. There. So, right. Yeah. Okay. So it's not an Asian thing, but maybe it's a Japanese incel thing. Okay,
yes, it's a Japanese incel thing.
Okay, how about Telfar bags? Is that Asian or not?
Triggered.
Ooh, I would say not Asian because Telfar is inherently black.
Oh yeah, word.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's black culture.
Okay. Yo, that's true. Yeah. That's why people love it. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why. How does your wife get it? By the way, do you want to tell Nori your secret or like you're gonna keep it to yourself?
Yeah. Look, how did you get yours?
Pure luck. Pure luck.
It's online.
No, you stole it
from a trans person.
Stole it from a trans.
I stole it from a trans person. I found a trans person. And I was like, "Give me the bag." And also I admire your struggle. And then and I left.
Oh gosh.
All right.
Yeah, this is the last one. This is Asian, not Asian. Memorizing rich white guys' faces.
Ooh. I would say Asian because statistically Asian people are not in places of leadership. And so they would have to memorize the rich white dudes' faces because they're probably the ones on top.
God, your answers are so fucking real, dog.
Dang.
Kenyon College.
Listen,
Kenyon College.
I'm liberal arts student for life. For life.
What did you study? What did you study at Kenyon College? Yeah, if you say electrical engineering, I'm going to be so pissed, dude.
I studied psychology and fine arts.
Oh God!
Wow,
yeah. That was a double major.
Mike, double major. Do you have a lot of liberal arts friends? I like hung out with somebody recently who had a liberal arts degree, and it was like she studied like gender studies or something, and it was like, it was a whole vibe, man. Like I didn't, every other sentence was like, well, have you read this book? Have you read this book? And I was like,
yeah.
No.
The majority of my friends are not liberal arts students. I would say I'm the like, I don't know. It's a vibe. I'm friends with all types of people. Yeah.
as she laughs at us.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, Nori, thanks for playing this game. We learned so much about you, and we love deconstructing toxicity. We couldn't have done it without you, to be honest. Because
really,
like you said, Asian not Asian.
That was
like,
the meanest thing that anyone's ever said about me.
What? We couldn't have deconstructed
it without
you.
We couldn't have done this toxic episode without you, Nori.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I mean, in a good way because, you just said like. Hey, Asian, not Asian, very binary, and we're two straight Asian guys. We have our limits, you know? And we had to look inward today to even consider that toxicity could be a fun thing, you know?
It can be cute. I hope after this podcast, you both come out as trans non-binary. Like, it's like you immediately are like, you know what? I'm also trans, actually. And it just upends your entire lives. Like your entire lives are just ripped apart. That's what I wish upon you. And that's my one toxic last wish, to be honest. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
It's like the toxic fairy godmother giving us one last blessing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Tori, thank you for not... I don't like Tori.
Tori.
Wow.
Jesus.
sorry.
I called it. And absolutely.
Amazing.
Nori, thank you so much for doing it. Where can our fans find you and your wonderful work?
Well, my most toxic work is going to be on Twitter. And so I would follow me there. It's Real Nori Reed. And my Instagram is Nori Reed.
Do you want to plug the show you're writing for? Or you don't want to talk about that?
I can't. They haven't announced stuff yet, so I can't. My life is just full of NDAs. It's NDA, NDA, NDA.
Yeah, you're like the only person, only guest we've ever had who mentioned like seven NDAs.
Lots of NDAs. But I will. Yeah, it'll come out soon, and it's Breitbart News. I'm writing for Breitbart. So look out for it. It's a really fun show coming out about
You can watch it right after Gutfeld, if you know what that is.
There you go.
Google Gutfeld. That's funny what I just said. You can also find us on all the social platforms at Asian Not Asian Pod. Please find me on there at The Fumiabe. That's thefumiabe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Check out my late night set. Just YouTube Fumiabe on YouTube and leave a nice comment, will ya? And Hack City Comedy, that's still happening. Mike is rocking and rolling. I will be back for the October show in New York, so get ready for that. And Nori, if you're ever in New York, please hit us up. We would love to have you
on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The next one, I think the ones we got announced, September, when is this, Mike? September 9th, the Thursday.
Yeah, September 9th. Is the September Hack City, and then do we have the October date?
Yeah, October.
It's October 14th.
Also a Thursday. So I'll be there. Yep. So come through, everybody. We love you. And I think that's it. Nori, thank you again. Everybody, stay toxic and have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.